This week's mailbag comes to us from Kim. Hi, Lisa and team. I just wanted to take a moment and reach out to you. I know that one of Lisa's love languages is words of affirmation, and so I wanted to say something regarding Planning Day. My husband and I just watched Planning Day on Friday night, Saturday morning. Yes, my husband actually does do all the organized 365 things with me. And let me just say, I needed that. We were driving to Walmart Saturday afternoon to check out pools, and we were listening to the Christian music in the car. I, no joke, said to my husband, "You know how some people say they need church? I think I needed Lisa." I had been slightly paralyzed thinking about the summer. I didn't want to cancel some of my plans and ideas, like going camping later in the summer, quite yet, but I also knew that they could very likely be canceled. I feel like we are in such a time of waiting. By the end of Planning Day, I had a plan to teach my 6-year-old to ride his bike with no training wheels. That would be his learn to drive, and we were going to help my 12-year-old start a lawn mowing business. As you probably picked up, we decided to get a pool for the backyard, which I am quite excited about. Reminded me of the little things that would cause joy was helpful too. I am the PTO president at the elementary school, and I was thinking about taking some of those ideas you shared and shared them on the PTO's Facebook page. The area that I live in, many people consider to be lower income, so some of the ideas you provided were great and a great reminder for all of us. Simply put, water balloons and squirt guns can be so much fun. This Planning Day may not have been like a normal Planning Day, but really nothing about this world is normal right now. Thank you again for all that you do, Kim. Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. All right, brace yourself. I want you to think about your house unlike you've ever thought about your house before. I know if you've been listening to the Organized 365 podcast, you already have out of the box thinking about your house and how it could possibly be used differently for the different phases of life you're in. But I want to really, really challenge all of us to dispel how we think we should be living in our homes and really embrace how we are living in our homes currently. And now's the best time to do this because we are not being forced to stay at home right now. We've already experienced that this spring. I hope that we don't experience it again, but I want us to be prepared just in case. So here are a couple of things I'm going to do to start us off with. I'm going to start with an email that Megan sent to me. She said, "I love when you talk about shame or other people's expectations versus your priorities and being true to yourself. Like in the podcast after Christmas, when you said that your mother-in-law is here and commented that your tree was still up, but I said I have bigger priorities. Or being too ashamed to get help or feeling like you can't spend the money or time without letting others down. I'm organized now, or like much, much more organized than I was 2 years ago. It took me so much longer to get this organized because I was too ashamed to ask for help, and also spent time at each house as each house guest visited, making it look nice, shoving stuff in closets, but less organized. Organizing as self-care would be a great topic." We, especially women, feel like when people come into our home, they are judging us, and that we're being graded, and that there is a standard we're supposed to meet and that we're never going to measure up. And that's maybe not fair. Maybe you don't feel that way. This is the way I used to feel. It's the way I used to feel. It's the way almost every professional organization client I had felt at some time. I don't know why we feel so judged. And the expectations on ourselves are so high, but they are. Like, We take such pride in having a clean and orderly and presentable and hospitable house. Yet the amount of time and money allotted to us to make that a reality sometimes does not match up. And even if it does match up, the expense to us of achieving that standard is sometimes too high. Like, it's too high on us not being able to pursue reading a book or talking on the phone to a friend. Like, we sacrifice so much of that time that we could spend in other things making sure that the house looks great. And I want you to really think about your best friend or a family member, and you go to their house a lot. When you walk into their door, do you walk in and go, they've had the same color paint on this wall for 7 years, and I cannot believe that Nick is on that floor. And those socks over there, she always has clothes all over the floor whenever I walk in here. No, you never think that when you walk into somebody else's house. First of all, you don't even look at the floor or the walls. Pre-pandemic, you walk in, you throw a big hug around your friend or your family member. You walk into the kitchen. They've got iced tea or whatever for you, or a glass of water. You guys sit down, you talk, or you sit on the couch, or you're chasing kids around the house and you go out back. You don't even notice. You do not notice if it's vacuumed, you don't notice. I mean, you notice if you can't walk in it because there's so much stuff, or you notice if they just got carpet so there's like nothing left in their house and you're like, wow, this looks really empty and minimalist, way to go, or whatever. But other than those two extremes, maybe you do. I don't notice if people vacuumed. I don't notice if people have dusted their bookshelves. I don't notice these things. I'm there to see whoever I'm there for. But yet we think that people are doing a military white glove test every time they come in our house. And they're not. They're not. Think about your childhood. Think back on your parents' home, your grandparents' home, your aunt's home, your best friend's home growing up. Do you remember how clean they were? No, you remember birthday parties and holiday celebrations and staying out way too late and your parents forgetting that you were awake so you were able to play with your cousins until like midnight or something. That's what you remember. You remember the people, the experiences, the memories, the holidays, the songs, the smells, the tastes. You do not remember how clean that house was or how they organized that house, right? Something I heard recently was that when you think about the past, that's where depression comes from. And when you think about the future, that's where anxiety comes from. But if you're thinking just about today and the present, then there isn't depression or anxiety. And I was like, wow, I really wish I could remember where I heard that because that would be helpful for you. But you know me, I'm not good at that. And I was like, wow, that is so true of the people I know. And when I was depressed, I was thinking about the good old days and how it was and why isn't it that way now? And why is it so hard for me now? And I was thinking about the past. And when I do get anxious, which isn't often, it is always because, oh my gosh, there's so much to do in the future and I need to get this done. And, you know, the future, what is it going to look like? How is it going to be? I'm not sure. That's always about the future. But when I think about today, what needs to get done today, there's a little bit of anxiety. Can I get it all done in one day? But there's really not those two emotions. So as we're thinking about our house and the physical makeup of our house, I want to think about those two things. One, think about how your house is going to look today and in the fall of 2020. I want to make some big mindset shifts for you that may really change the way your house looks in the fall of 2020, with the preface of saying, it won't look that way in the fall of 2025, okay? I'm not saying for the rest of your life I want your houses to look this way. But I want us to really dispel reason and think about how could our homes look during this pandemic that would serve us and make it better. Someone else said, I want you to really expand on saying what's the worst that can happen. You know, I have said, what's the worst that can happen? What is the worst that can happen if we rearrange your house for the pandemic fall 2020? What is the worst that can happen? Let's just go through the things. If I was talking to you, here are some of the things I think you would say back to me. My spouse will not like it. Right. your spouse will not like it. Your spouse also probably won't like the fact that we're quarantining in the house together. I mean, there are a lot of things we're not going to like. Rearranging the furniture will be one of the many things that they're not going to like. I like the way my house is now. I don't want to rearrange it. That's a valid thing too. What's the worst thing that could happen if you move things around your house to better facilitate people living in your house 24/7 for a period of time, knowing that you can move the furniture back to where it was post the pandemic? What is the worst that could happen? I'd love for you guys to think about what is the worst thing that could happen if you rearrange your house. So one of the things that we've come up with at Organize 365, when all of the kids were sent home from school in the fall or in the spring, I feel as a parent and as an educator, the hardest part about that transition, besides the unknown and not having the technology and all that, that's all been figured out. The hardest part about that is that students often get their planning and their assignments from their teacher, and students that do not already have intrinsic organization often rely on the teachers and the school and the structure of the day to impose that on them in order to get their assignments done and turned in on time. I know as a teacher, I had a whole list of students where I would actually double check their backpack before they went home at the end of school in seventh and eighth grade so that when they got home, they had everything that they needed for homework. So if I did that with seventh and eighth graders in a Montessori school that was very independent, then the odds of you needing to do that with your kids is probably pretty high. And if kids are being sent home to being educated at home, that means that the parents during the day were not normally educating their kids during the day. They were either working or doing something else. And so they weren't used to spending their time that way and don't even know what all the assignments are that need to be done. You know, I also heard from teachers it was very frustrating because they were literally, I thought they'd have more time at home. No, they're on Zoom from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. fielding questions from parents and students and trying to get everybody what they need. It was very chaotic. So one of the things that we did here at Organize 365 is we developed a kids student planner. And we have one for elementary and middle school, and we have a different one for high school and college, because you, as a student, should be in control of your assignments. And then if you are in school, or if you're schooling from home or homeschooled or whatever it is, you have a set way of recording your assignments so that your location for schooling can change, but how you organize your assignments and your thoughts and your planner does not change. You can find out more in the Preparing for the School Year Blitz that we just recorded, and you can find the replays of those inside of our YouTube channel and our Facebook groups. So what were the things in your home in the spring when you were sheltering in place that did and didn't work? And as a professional organizer, if I were sitting there with you, this is how I would start our session. I would have you walk me through the house. So you can walk through the house if you do this if you want, like with the legal pad or something. And as we go into each room, and I would do this in each room, I would say, okay, front hall. What worked? What didn't work? Well, the front hall was fine. Nobody went in or out, so it apparently worked just fine. Okay, great. Family room. What worked? What didn't work? Kitchen. What worked? What didn't work? You know, living room, dining room, basement, bedroom. What worked? What didn't work? And if I were to guess, I would say what didn't work in most American families was the fact that everyone was in the house 24/7. And they did not have their own spaces for work. You maybe didn't even have enough desks for everyone to sit at a desk for school and work. And then that school and work had a different cadence to it. So I had set up the loft as, I have this gorgeous new Amish desk in there that I bought last fall. And I thought I would transition from Abby's bedroom out there. And I never did. So I actually have two offices. So as soon as Greg came home, he was out there in the loft. It was totally fine because I was here in Abby's bedroom and I have a lot of meetings and I have a lot of podcast recordings. So I could just shut my door. And that was enough of a buffer to Greg still to be able to do what he was doing in the loft. That worked. What didn't work was our dog barking when he was in meetings or when he was on phone calls. Our dog constantly by Greg, because when Greg's home, he feeds him snacks. So Hunter was ready for snacks 24/7. So every time Greg ate anything, the dog was there. That didn't work. Our daughter, who homeschools from home, she is pretty independent until around 1, and then she would like to be social after 2. Well, Greg works till 4:30, so she'd come up and sit at the top of the stairs like she normally does with me, and now she's talking to both of us, and he's like, I am still working. And there is no comprehension of that for whatever reason. So that didn't work either. So what works, what didn't work. Now, Greg has gone back to his office. Ironically, he's the only one that's gone back to his office. And after he moved back, they decided no more people are going to go back for like months. I said, well, just come back home then. He's like, no, I'll just stay at the office. I don't know what he's doing, if he's going or if he's coming. But I know that we both had desks. That wasn't a problem. But if he does end up back at home, there are some things that didn't work the first time. Do we just say that, okay, those things don't work? Or do we go further and solve those problems going forward, right? Other things that worked didn't work. So everybody needs to have a desk. Everybody needs to have a place to work. When you are thinking specifically about students, I had college-age students. If you don't have anybody else that quarantined with you, you can skip this one. But if you went from being a family of a certain size to a family of a bigger size, one thing that possibly didn't work for you was the number of computers and the internet access that you had. These are things that would be great to fix now, right now, is get on the list and get better internet, get a new router. It's not that expensive. It's not that much more money. Sorry, I'm walking to let Hunter out. I'm multitasking while I'm podcasting. You know, I will say that is one benefit of quarantine and COVID is I've always worked from home and I've pretended like I do this in a professional podcasting studio. Now that you guys all have to do your meetings on Zoom, you know that we all have dogs and we all have to let our dogs out, so I don't have to be as perfect anymore. I do like that part. So I was talking about your internet. Call your internet service provider. Usually they'll come out and they will increase your internet speed, and there is not a lot of expense to that. And then your monthly bill isn't really that much higher, but it is so worth it to have better internet. Along those lines, I know some of you don't have enough laptop computers for everybody in your family. And my solution for that, my favorite, is if you have a Verizon internet account, a Verizon phone account, is to buy a Chromebook through Verizon. So I have one, a couple of our team members have them. Here's why I love this. The Chromebook is, I think, $400, which is a very inexpensive computer. And I love this computer. Basically, it's like an iPad with a keyboard is what a Chromebook is, if you don't know what a Chromebook is. But it runs on Google. So you open up the Chromebook. It's a thick, sturdy computer, kind of like I equate it to the Nokia cell phones, those ones that were tougher. So I have my Chromebook. It has great resolution, so I can use it outside because the brightness on the screen is really bright, whereas most laptop computers are hard for me to use outside. It has a great battery life, so when you plug it in, it will stay charged for like 8 hours. You can use it outside, whatever. I love that about it as well. It does not have a lot of hard drive capability, but I don't need it for that. Like almost everything I do in my business is through an online app or website. And it has tabs, so you can open up multiple tabs, whereas if you're on an iPad, you can have multiple screens open and toggle back and forth. But I like a true PC computer experience with multiple tabs open at the top. So I love a Chromebook. So $400 for a Chromebook through Verizon. We have Verizon phones. And then that Chromebook will work on your Wi-Fi, but also it can, for like, I think it's $10 or $20 a month, it can be considered a Verizon device. So if you have unlimited, we have unlimited, then that tab, that Chromebook can use the Verizon Wi-Fi account instead of your home Wi-Fi. So if your internet goes out, if you are out back, if you are whatever, when I travel and I open that up in a hotel, I'm instantly connected because I'm using a Verizon. It's like a cell phone. My computer is like a cell phone. So if you were thinking, wow, we used old laptops, we limped through. If the kids get sent home again, if we need more digital devices, that's my recommendation for that. Okay, so we did working space. We just did internet. The other thing I would say, which is something that you might not have thought about, but I think is actually the most important thing that might not be working, is everyone needs alone space and passion projects. Everyone in your family needs to have a place where they can retreat to and have alone, quiet thinking time to do whatever it is that they like to do. So for me, it's sitting on my bed, watching TV, doing puzzles. For Abby, it's playing with her animals downstairs. You know, she got her chihuahua during quarantine, Frank. So we're playing with Frank outside. You know, for Joey, it's making music, it's playing video games. We need this downtime. And most of us need alone time. And I know some of my friends, the hardest part of quarantine for them was they didn't get any alone time because they had younger kids than I did. And so they couldn't break out. So creating a quiet time place for everybody in the house, if you don't have a big house or you don't have a lot of spaces, the number one default I'm always going to default to is your bed. So you can read on your bed, you can do puzzles on your bed, you can scrapbook on your bed, you can, like, everyone has somewhere they're sleeping. And so their bed can be their quiet space time. And you can even make the rule if you want to, like just like when kids were little, like when you were 4 or 5 and you were no longer going to take a nap. I don't know if your parents ever did this to you, but mine definitely did it to me because I never stopped talking. I didn't have to take a nap, but I had to sit on my bed for an hour. I had to have quiet time. My mother needed quiet time. So I would sit on my bed and I would do whatever it was. I even had like little quiet time books that she made me of, like where I did buttons and stuff like that. So everyone needs to have quiet time or quiet time space. And you can set up rules and say, hey, we're all quarantined together or whatever. But when mom is sitting on her bed reading a book between this hour and this hour, this is her, you know, like red stop sign time that this is my quiet time. This is what I get to do. This is your quiet time. This is what you get to do. And everyone has those spaces that are considered theirs. So those three buckets, your workspace, your quiet time space, and your sleeping space. You need to have those different spaces. Another thing that may or may not have been working while you were in quarantine the last time is we all lost that ability to travel away from our home and have some of that processing time, like I told you, that we have in a commute. So I know some people started like walking around the block before they went to work, or for a while we were walking Hunter after work. That was a nice transition for us after work before we started to talk for dinner, things like that, putting those different kinds of routines in place. As you are thinking about your house, as you are thinking about your different spaces, it is okay if you decide, all right, well, we have a living room and dining room and we have a family room. And so we don't use the living room and dining room, and we are going to turn the living room, dining room into our work school area. And then our family room will be our social after work area. So we're going to kind of migrate from our living room, dining room working over into our family room. Or I know a lot of people that I was following on Instagram, they would make their home office in a child's bedroom. So the child got up and went somewhere else, and then the home office was in the child's bedroom. We did not put a desk in our bedroom, but that is how I grew Organized 365. For the first 7 years of growing Organized 365, my office was in my bedroom. And I just it was just exactly a year ago, moved it from my bedroom over here into Abby's bedroom when we moved Abby down into the basement. So if you need to put a desk up in your bedroom so that you have a quiet place to work and take conference calls, this does not mean that for the rest of your life, you're going to have an office inside of your bedroom. And you always said, I'd never have a bedroom, or I'd never have a TV, or I'd never have my office in my bedroom because of, for whatever reason, we're in a global pandemic. You're allowed to change your mind for a short amount of time. And then when the global pandemic is over, you can say, yeah, that's, you know, I prefer not to have a TV, not to have a desk in my bedroom. But during the global pandemic, I made an exception. So you can make new rules. You can sit down with your family and say, you know what, normally we have done XYZ. But as we noticed during the last 4 months, these things tended to work better for our family. So our screen time allotment is going to change to this, or our this thing is going to change this only during this time frame. And then we will go back to the old rules that we have. I hope this was helpful for you to think outside of the box. It'd be great for you in the Organized 365 Facebook community to kind of share some of the spaces that you have redone in your home. I think it is really helpful when you see other people who have done this. I know in past podcasts, I've talked about taking bedrooms that aren't being used or living rooms and dining rooms that aren't being used and turning them into game rooms, turning them into Lego rooms, turning them into libraries. Like, the possibilities are endless. If your family is a bunch of bookworms and you guys love books and now you're all home and you have so many books and so many bookshelves everywhere, well, then line the living room and dining room with the bookshelves. Move all the bookshelves into the living room and dining room and make your own Dewey Decimal System and have everyone have certain shelves and put in comfy chairs in there and have quiet time and reading time in there each month, which will add more space into all the rooms that you're taking the bookshelves out of for other passion projects or a desk to go in there or something like that. Or maybe your family is really into Legos and model making. Then create a... take your dining room table and have that be the gigantic big Lego thing that you're creating. Or maybe like me, you like doing puzzles and your whole family likes doing puzzles. So maybe say, all right, we're going to always eat at the kitchen table. We're not going to eat at the dining room table. So we are going to do puzzle after puzzle. And there's always going to be a puzzle going at the dining room table. And anytime you want to, you can sit down and work on the puzzle. Don't worry about having your house pickup ready, company ready, because company's not even allowed to come over at this time, and ready for somebody to come in and inspect and make sure that you are keeping an immaculately clean, perfect house. We don't need that. We need our homes to be welcoming and inviting and places that we want to be spending time in as well as need to be spending time in. And whatever it takes to do that during this time for your family, during this phase of life, that's what we should be doing. And you know what? When this is all over, you might not even want to change it back. All right, I'll see you guys next week.